Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
My name is Holly, and you're listening to Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
So, before we start today, we wanted to give a little preface to this episode. We are currently in Violet's bedroom, on the floor. I only have one mic to share. And we're both coming out of a strange illness. So if you hear some rustling, if our voices sound a bit hoarse, if you hear sirens going into VGH, just know we're trying our best.
Yeah, we figured it'd be safest for us and safest for everyone else to just record this episode from home. We didn't want to go into the studio. It do be a pandemic. So if we sound a bit different, that is the reason why.
Yeah, so this week we wanted to kick off our first episode of 2022 with a topic that many people are quite familiar with. That's going home for the holidays.
Yeah, by the time this airs, it actually might feel a bit different, but I do think that this is a topic that will echo on for many people well into the new year. And I know that we both had a lot of thoughts and feelings about going home for the holidays this past year. So when you pitched this topic idea to me, I was really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this one. I think that the idea of going home for the holidays, especially when you're a 20-something year old, and obviously when you're living away from your family, it can be quite an interesting trip. Either like you haven't seen your family for a while, or you're very excited to see them. Maybe you're not so excited. Maybe you're dreading it. I don't know. I think everyone has their own experiences, but I think we're all collectively having one experience, which is going back into like your childhood place and whatever that might be. And I think the older that I get, the more that I think about how odd that kind of is.
Yeah. And I think what I noticed this year more than ever before was just all the discourse that really happens before and also after. I haven't necessarily experienced the after as much, but I am anticipating it. Just around going home for the holidays and like around mid-December, every single person is asking you if you're going home, how long you're going home, whether or not you're excited. And then also when you come back, like reflecting on past years and what I anticipate for this year is just like getting all of these questions again of how going home was, what you got up to, how seeing your family was, which I think is very interesting because I think on the surface, it may seem like a very standard question to be asking, but I think it actually can hold a lot of weight depending on what your situation is.
Yeah, that was the main thing that I was thinking about when thinking about doing this episode, was that usually those questions are just coming out of polite small talk, but really, I mean, those are loaded questions. People have complicated relationships with their family, you know, whether it's their own relationships or it's, you know, what your family dynamics are. And I think it's odd in a way that everyone's always asked. I mean, it makes sense, but like to think about how many people I know that are like not excited to see their family or, you know, being in their childhood home can bring back some really bad memories. It's so interesting that we just like go throughout our day and we're like, oh, like how, oh, you're excited to go home? It's like, do you want me to tell you everything?
Right. Yeah, totally. And I'm definitely guilty of asking that question as well. I feel like it's one of those topics that's just like cheap small talk to make with someone when you don't really know what else to say to them, or it's just like an easy topic to bring up and like something will be said, you know, like just the same as around finals times. It's like, oh, how are your finals going? It's just like a blanket question that feels like you can just ask anyone. But this year for me, going home was kind of a sore subject because of some issues I was having with my family. So it was a really interesting thing to have to navigate in conversation with like just about anyone, because it is kind of a conversation you have with just about anyone you're interacting with. And it was also super interesting to receive different people's responses, because a lot of times when I got asked about going home for the holidays, I would kind of respond something along the lines of, I'm really stressed about it. And some people seemed to like immediately understand and gave me an answer of like, oh, I totally get it. And other people seemed like totally perplexed by the idea that like going home would be a stressful occurrence. And like they had no concept whatsoever of like what was stressful about like going home and seeing family, which was very, very interesting.
Those people astonish me, really. 'Cause I feel like whether I'm in a good or bad place with my family, it's always still like, especially nowadays, going back always seems so stressful. And so that's always kind of what I assume like going home will be. But I do find it so interesting that you do tell people, like you really, if someone's asking you, you know, are you excited to go home? You'd be like, not really. And I feel like you kind of open yourself up to that, and you're also just being honest, which I love, because I definitely don't do that. Like, I was stressed to go home this past like winter, and I'm usually quite stressed because I'm just like, oh, there's just going to be so much happening. But if someone asked me, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm excited to go, it'll be great. So I'm kind of interested to know, like, why don't you lie? Why do you say that you're stressed? It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question to ask me. I don't know. I guess like I tend to assume in people, if they're asking, they actually want to know, which maybe isn't like a very good assumption to be making, because I think a lot of people probably are just asking for the sake of asking, because as we discussed, it's a very easy thing to ask around these times. And I think part of the reception is sometimes people having follow-up questions. Right. And I think that's when I've kind of learned to navigate it in a particular way, where like either just depending on my comfortability with that person, and given the situation being a bit sensitive, sometimes it'll be a vague explanation of what's going on. Sometimes I'll be like, you know how it is, and just like hoping that they drop it. Or like sometimes I have like lied this past winter when like being pressed a bit more about it. And like, I guess that has kind of snapped me into like, oh, I did just open myself up to like more questions about this that maybe I'm not really prepared to answer. And I think I can't blame the people for asking me those questions, because I did open myself up to that. And so I don't, but I have gotten a few people who I've kind of been like, doesn't really matter, we can move on. And then they have like pushed it a bit more, which like I'm less okay with, because at that point I am sort of signaling like, all right, moving on anyways. But most people have been very respectful about it, which is good.
Yeah, I just find it very interesting, because it does make sense to just want to answer those questions honestly, especially if it's coming from friends. And I think that the big reason why I do lie is because I don't want follow-up questions. But I think that's kind of like a learned response, because I think I've just always had kind of like a story built up of like, I don't need to get into this. So it's like you sit down with someone's family and they just like ask you something of like, oh, are you close with this person in your family? And I don't really want to sit there and be like, well, actually, it all started when I was 5. I actually had this conversation with someone like a little while ago, where he was like, do you ever just lie? And I'm like, absolutely, I lie. Because I think when you have a complicated family, or like, you know, just something's happened that you don't always want to be talking about, there are times that I'm super open to talking about it. But I think that I've kind of just learned to be like, why would I tell this person right now? So like, I'm just going to like not say anything, which is good in some ways, I think, for me personally. But then also, I feel like I've been trying to get better. Even when someone says something like, how are you doing? I always just automatically want to respond, oh, I'm fine. But then I'm like, well, I'm not. And I could actually just tell this person.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain amount of risk that comes with that honesty, but I think there's also a certain amount of reward, because having an honest answer, whether it's to how are you or are you excited to go home for the holidays, it can be rewarding when you get a response that's like, I understand, or I'm going through something similar, or like, I'm right there with you. And I think in some ways that made me feel a little bit less alone, which I think is in part why we both kind of wanted to do this episode, is like, we'll get into sort of the facade that can come with the holidays, but it can feel isolating to be stressed about going home. And I think a lot of people are saying that they're excited to go home, and maybe there's more complications lying underneath the surface there. But I think when you are honest, you do open yourself up to negative parts, but you also open yourself up to people being receptive to that and like resonating with that, which can be incredibly validating.
Yeah, I think that something I've learned growing up has been the fact that so many people have complicated family relationships. And I think I grew up having a complicated family relationship, but never talking about it. So I was always under this assumption that nobody else did. And then I came to university and didn't know anyone, and the stakes were lower. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll just tell people about this. Started learning that everyone had, not everyone, but a lot of people had something complicated. But I agree. I feel like when you get, even if it's that, because I feel like when someone, when I ask someone like, oh, how are you excited to go home? And they're like, eh, you know, like, oh, I'm not close to like my mom, or like, oh, this thing happened last year, and like, it's still kind of a sore spot. I feel like what I always say is just like, I get it. Like, it sucks. And sometimes I respond, or I'll maybe ask more questions, but I feel like usually I don't want to be put on the spot. So, and I always like getting that response of being like, yeah, I get it. Like, family's hard. And so that always does, it's like a small thing, but it makes you feel like, oh, like, not everyone feels this way, which I think is very nice.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the best responses that I've gotten from people this past winter, and in kind of speaking my truth, you know, about the stress of going home, is just having exactly that response of, I get it. So I really appreciate that.
We're going to take a little break, little music break. We're going to listen this week to actually one of my favorite songs. Funny enough, a song that reminds me of home. This is from one of my favorite bands, and a band that my mom introduced me to when I was very young, called Supertramp. It's called Take the Long Way Home. We'll be back after a few ads. So you think you're a Romeo, playing a part in a picture show. Well, take the long way home. Take the long.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR on 101.9 FM. So right before the break, we were talking a little bit about being asked about going home and how that can be somewhat of an odd question to answer sometimes. What feels a bit more complicated in this situation is actually the act of going home. So like obviously being asked about it, it's kind of the lead up, but then you actually have to go home. And I think, you know, in some cases people have some long-standing tenuous relationships with their family. Sometimes your political views don't line up with each other. But what I find across the board for people, like good or bad relationship with their family, is that going home always feels like you're kind of stepping into the role that you played when you were a kid. Your parents are kind of asking where you're going, like they're cleaning up after you. You don't have access to your car. You don't have the freedom to go and see your friends or do what you want. Or it could be even more of like asking more pressing questions, asking what have you been up to, but like, or even getting into fights that maybe you normally were getting into when you were in high school, but now you've been away from it for so long. So I think that there are things that you have to somewhat like adapt to very quickly and for a very short amount of time. And it kind of feels like a fever dream where it's like, I'm going to step into this role of a 16-year-old for 2 weeks and then I have to leave, and I'm not going to have to do that for maybe another 4 months. And that's hard. It's a hard thing to do, whether you have a good relationship with your family or not.
Yeah, I think for me, going to university like really opened up this whole new world where I was completely independent. I was, you know, doing my own thing, and like I wasn't really anyone's responsibility and I wasn't responsible to anyone. And like I said, that really opened up this whole new world for me. So stepping back into my family home, I really start to mourn that independence that I have when I'm away from home. And it's interesting because I had a conversation with my dad once where he talked about potentially going and seeing his parents himself and how it's stressful for him when he goes and visits his parents because he loses that independence and he can't just hop in the car and go to the shop because he's berated by all of these questions from them and, you know, really loses that independence that he gets to have. And he's a grown man, you know, which, you know, so it's very understandable. But at the same time, I'm like, you and mom do that to me. Like, it's almost like this self-perpetuating cycle that like nobody, I guess, seems to be able to break.
I had a very similar experience at home where my mom was just ranting to me about all the things that annoyed her about her mom. And my mom's parents live very close to us, so we see them quite often. So it was like every time we would go over, there would be so much tension and there'd be fights and then we'd all be happy. And then we'd come home and my mom would just like rant and rant about her mom. And she was like going on these tangents of all these things of like, oh, she's so overbearing. And she asked me all these questions and like, she doesn't seem like she is listening to me. And I'm sitting there like, you do this to me. Like, this is exactly like some of the issues that I have with you. And it's so, it's just odd and like kind of, I don't know, it feels somewhat of a helpless situation that you find yourself in because you're like, can anyone get out of this? Like, can any child, obviously like child of a parent, like recognize those things and then try not to do them? Or is it just that we're truly products of our parents? Or is this just something that happens? Like, is it just you see your kid and you haven't seen them in so long that you want to kind of take back some of this control?
Yeah, those are really good questions to pose that I don't think maybe anyone has the answer to. But I guess putting myself in the parent's role a little bit, like you do feel not ownership, but maybe responsibility for your child. And, you know, a lot of people maybe were living at home in high school, not everyone, but if you did, like that maybe is the last time that you were living there. And when you are in high school, like it or not, you are a bit more under like the care, guidance, and responsibility of your parents. Like, they truly are your caretakers at that time. And a lot of people who move away for university, obviously it's maybe not the same experience for people who continue living with their families into university, but there isn't a ton of buffer time to figure out new dynamics where the parent can acknowledge that the child is now this like adult and like individual and can be independent and responsible on their own time. You know, I think that's part of what frustrates me, is there almost seems to be this amnesia that I've been living alone for 5 years. And so I think because there hasn't been that buffer time to readjust to the fact that you are this grown adult, from a distance and they don't necessarily get to see you live that life on a day-to-day basis. So you haven't worked out the kinks of like how that new dynamic can work, especially when we talk about how going home from the holidays usually is a very, or can be a very short period of time, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. It's not enough time to like redevelop those dynamics and unlearn what you've established in all of these years living together.
But yeah, I think that it's very interesting to think about how when you go back home, you kind of have to reassume these roles. And for me, I kind of felt like this time going home was so much harder because I felt like everything was more frustrating and more difficult. And I was texting one of my friends about it and I was like, oh, like, I just feel like going home nowadays is getting so much harder than it used to be. And like so many things are getting piled up. And she posed an interesting question, which was, has it gotten harder? Or is it that you've just kind of forgotten what it used to be like? And I do think that there are new things that crop up in like my relationship with my mom that kind of may pose new challenges. But that kind of struck me because I was like, I do think I've kind of forgotten how to be a teenager, like what it was like to have someone take care of me. And it just poses very interesting, I don't know, little like thought bubble in my head about like, why have I forgotten these things? Why has this kind of like escaped my memory? And like, how have I assumed this new role? But I continuously come home and have to redo it all the time, but I'm forgetting it at the same time.
Yeah, I can definitely understand how that can happen. I think for me, the reason why I don't think I have the same kind of, or experience the same kind of memory loss about going home is because I think going home, while in some ways it does mean falling back into some like familiar dynamics and patterns with family, those dynamics and patterns have really shifted for me. And I think that's for a couple reasons. I think one is because of the reflection that I've been able to do and like growth that I've been able to do on my own end since leaving. So I think a lot of the insights that I've had in the past few years aren't the same as the way that I felt when I was actually living at home in high school. And so I think that the way that I react in those dynamics is sometimes different because of those reflections. And I think the other really major one for me and my family is just because my family doesn't look the same as it did when I left for university. And like there are two new kids in the house now because my parents have taken on two foster kids. And so like naturally that dynamic in my family has changed and almost like doesn't let us quite sink into our history together in the same way that it might for other families that haven't changed in that kind of like drastic way.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about it because I feel like my family has just stayed so similar and like so small. But I do feel like that is like a whole other world that like so many people will not step into, of like not only like your actual family dynamics changing because of new people coming in and out, but also like I know so much of what you've talked about to me has been like, I'm realizing the role that I play and I would like to play a different role, and like, you know, changing it up on your family, like they're not used to that. And so that can cause tension, and that's really difficult to then have to deal with, because then you're just coming back and being like, I'm trying to grow, but I only have a small amount of time with you, and like, are you able to grow with me?
Yeah, totally. I think that's been one of the most frustrating things for me, and a lot of what I hear from my friends as well is like university being this time where we are really, you know, growing and having these growing pains in these huge ways, and feeling like maybe our parents aren't doing that same growth, which can be really, really frustrating and difficult. But in terms of that kind of amnesia, that memory loss that you experience, were you able to find any research that kind of backed up that like thought bubble that was kind of poking at you?
Yeah. So there's obviously lots of research about why we lose our memory. And I think the reasons why we lose our memory is so cool. And that can maybe come up in other podcasts. But specifically for this episode, I wanted to kind of focus in more on like what happens when you experience negative things. So the idea behind like this is obviously to an extreme, but like if you experience a traumatic event, you're going to forget certain things. Like your body will naturally want to forget things. So the best example I always have is like someone who has a child, like gives birth to a child, will remember that they gave birth to a child and remember maybe how hard it was, especially if it was a natural birth, but they won't remember the actual pain they went through. And that's like a mechanism that that humans have adapted to so that we can get pregnant again and that we can be able to reproduce. So it's interesting to think about that maybe more in not as, you know, physically traumatic ways. So the concept of emotional regulation is one of the reasons why we have memory loss. So we don't want to dwell on negative things as humans, because if we do, then we won't be able to do them again. So something as simple as just like going home for a break and maybe experiencing some negative things, you're going to somewhat forget what that feeling is. Or like even if you think back to high school of like, oh, I was fighting with my parents every day when I was in high school. It's like you're not going to remember that feeling when you get older, because your brain and your body aren't going to let you, because you have to be able to kind of like overcome that so that you're able to go back. And I'm not saying this to say that everybody should be going back home. If you don't want to go back home, you don't have to. But the mechanism in itself is so comforting to me, to think that like there's something in our brains that's like giving us the ability to kind of not suppress, but just kind of push something to the back of our minds. But I think that it was interesting to kind of come to terms with that of like, oh no, I was experiencing some of the same issues when I was like 16. They haven't changed. I just haven't had to deal with it in a while. My brain has kind of just forgot.
Yeah, so you're saying that that's kind of something that you experience when you go home. You know, as you were explaining it more, I think I do experience it to some extent. But I think, again, for the reasons I mentioned before, my experience is a tad bit different just in terms of the actual act of like returning home and what that feels like. But I'd love to hear, if you're comfortable, what that's sort of like for you.
Yeah, so like a very easy example that I can give that's kind of funny is that, so my mom has this very bad habit of not telling me to do things. She will just ask me if I want to do them. So it was something that used to get me so annoyed growing up. Like she would say, do you want to take out the trash? Or do you want to bring a jacket? Or like, do you want to put on lipstick before we go out? Something along those lines. And it would always irk me. Like I remember in high school just being like so annoyed. And every time I go home, she does it. And it feels like every time she does it, she's kind of doing it for the first time. So like, that was one of the first things that came to my mind when I was talking to my friend, was like, this always happens. It was just this weird thing of like feeling like, oh, this time going home, like I'm getting so much more annoyed because like things are changing. But like, in retrospect, nothing was really changing. It was like, yes, there were things that were being brought up or things that were different from the last few times I've gone home, but some of the core things that I was still getting annoyed at were still very essential to what my mom and I's relationship was. I think I just forgot that it was like that.
Yeah, I think part of it could be just living with that on a day-to-day basis. And I think when things are so perpetual in your life, it's almost hard to recognize them sometimes. And I think especially when you haven't had as much experience living with other people. I remember kind of ranting to my friends sometimes about what was going on at home, or like issues I was having with my parents or whatever, but I wasn't talking about my living situation in the same way that I ended up talking about my living situation when I moved in with roommates, for example. So I think that that kind of changes the conversations as well. And I think once you sort of speak things out loud, it sticks a bit more, at least for me. And so I would imagine that probably the next time you see your mom and she asks you, do you want to put on lipstick before we go out? You're going to be like, oh yes, this is that thing that you do, because now you've been away from it, you've recognized it, and you've spoken it out loud. And so I think now there's a better chance that it'll stick. Like, do you think the next time you're there, like you'll be surprised by that pattern? Like, do you think you'll have that memory loss at this point, or are you more likely to remember it now?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like also it's just been a long time since I've been home like this. I guess I was home in the summer. So maybe I feel like maybe something could change. I also think that what's going to end up happening in my life is that I will just accept that my mother does certain things. And I think that that's kind of a part of also growing up and going home, is being a little bit annoyed and a little bit upset, but just kind of taking a deep breath in and being like, okay, this is hard, but I only have to be here for 2 weeks and I just have to get through it. And I think that also a big thing for me has been kind of, I don't know, over intellectualizing the experience has very much helped with that entire situation. So like the issues of going home and, you know, wanting to be back is like a huge part of it is just independence and like kind of losing that. And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier on in this episode, was like, when you go home, you're kind of losing that independence. And I think that's really difficult for both sides. Like, I think for the child to go home and have to lose a bit of their independence that they've grasped from their, you know, life away, and they have to come back and like be dependent on their household, is difficult. But it also can be really difficult, I think, for parents to deal with that. And I did a little bit of research on that as well and found some pretty interesting things, which was just like talking about kids having autonomy and like if children have autonomy, and especially if it's the first time since they've left home, then going home for the holidays is like putting them back in a controlled setting. And that can be good and bad. So the idea of the paper that I was reading was like, you give children autonomy and you give them a life outside of their home, so when they come back, they can be more grateful for it. But in another way, on the parent side, they feel like they've lost some autonomy over their children. So when they come home, they feel more desire to like take that autonomy back, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I could imagine the sort of stress of being like, you know, raising your little baby birds and then they leave the nest and then you're like, you're doing so well and I'm so proud of you, but also, you know, I'm the reason that you're doing so well. And then once they're back in your nest, you're like, oh, don't forget that like I'm your mother and I'm the reason why you are this way. Like, you're still mine, you're still my product. And like, maybe that's a bit too heavy-handed, and I certainly don't think that that's the conscious thought process going on in their mind, but I could put myself in their shoes and like see that a little bit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, it puts you in this weird limbo in a way of like kind of trying to balance, again, on the child side of like, this is my life now and I'm trying to like hopefully further my life into adulthood. And I think that that looks different for everybody, but I think that we can only kind of speak on our own terms. And for me, that is moving away and like having a life that's not attached to like my hometown and my mother as much. But again, that's very difficult sometimes. And I think like I've started to recognize as I grow older that like my mom is a complex human being. Like, she's not just my mother, and she has feelings and she has like stake in this as well. And like talking about like nests, like empty nesting for parents is like very, very difficult. And like, I didn't realize that there was so much literature on it, but there is. And it's very interesting because I think the assumption is that empty nesters will always be more unhappy than like people who do have their children back, but that's not always true. Like, there was these studies that were done in China. Actually, most of the studies about empty nesting was in China, mostly because of the one child policy. And like, they're now studying the effects of having the one child policy, because that means that one child mostly like went off and did other things. So what the studies showed was that empty nesters without a spouse in rural neighborhoods have a higher risk of unhappiness, but comparatively to empty nesters that had a spouse and were living in like metropolitan cities, they were more unhappy. But it's interesting, it makes so much sense, right? Where it's like you're by yourself, kind of, if it's just one parent, and then you're in the middle of nowhere and you have no longer your child, but also you don't really have contact with like anyone else, of course that's gonna kind of infringe upon your happiness.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's also interesting to know that most of the studies on this are being done, you know, in China due to these policies. And I think what you're saying too makes a lot of sense for exactly the reason that you just explained of having some sort of partnership and also having kind of the benefits maybe of city life, that there's a lot of hustle bustle and maybe you're not depending on the companionship that your child previously gave you when they were living in your home. I've heard of some people's parents who are like so stoked to be just them and their partner, but I know like for my mom specifically, like being an empty nester was like not an option. So I think that there is such a diversity of experience, and it's interesting to think about like what the factors in that might be.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. So they did another study about empty nesters that had a better mental health than non-empty nester elderly people, which I thought was very interesting because I didn't think it worked that way. I thought that it would always just be baseline, like empty nesters will always be kind of worse off than non-empty nesters. So in this case, an empty nester that has better mental health than a non-empty nester is married, a man, younger, higher income, and no chronic disease. So a lot of those make sense. The male one kind of threw me off, but like having a partner makes a lot of sense. I know like a big thing for what I think about with my mom is that she doesn't have a partner. So, and also I'm an only child. So the fact that I'm away and like she doesn't have anyone around, maybe other than like her friends and like her parents, but she doesn't have anyone around every day, just makes it feel like that much more of a reason that I need to be going home, because it's like, it's not that you don't have anyone else, but you don't have anyone in your everyday life that's going to be seeing you. Like that is a very lone life. And it's not like she doesn't like it. I think my mom actually truly loves being alone, but then also struggles a lot with the fact that I'm not there. The fact that someone's younger, I can't really explain, but like higher income and no chronic disease also makes a lot of sense. Cause like when you think about why people used to have kids, but like a lot of reasons why people will have kids and expect them to do things for them when they get older is like they can't work anymore. So their kids need to provide them with like some financial stability. And I think the old way of thinking was like, oh, well, I supported you for 18 years. So when I turn 65 and I retire, you also have to support me. But if you have a higher income, you don't have a kid at home, then that's fine. And then also like having no chronic disease, just meaning like you won't be sick and you don't need someone to take care of you. And so you can kind of be an individual and live that life on your own. So all that makes a lot of sense.
I think that to speak to the man factor, I feel like that like feeds into the stereotype of women loving to be mothers and men like being really indifferent about being fathers. So I like want to reject that, but I also think that like we do feed into those stereotypes as well. And I know that obviously like some women do get purpose out of being mothers, and certainly some men get purpose out of being fathers as well. And I don't know, just it's possible for anyone to have purpose in being a parent. But I think that there is that particular stereotype placed upon women and mothers and like that expectation. And so like it makes me frustrated to hear that a little bit. But also, I guess it could make sense. I don't know.
I think it makes a ton of sense, actually, now that you pointed it out. Well, because I think that, I mean, if we're going to go off statistics, I think, and also just the way that we breed genders and like people in heterosexual relationships, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like there are more fathers that are not as present in their child's life than there are mothers. I think, I mean, I can't pull out a statistic out of the back of my pocket, but just speaking to people, I think that's usually the case, whether that's, you know, intended or not by the father figure. So actually it does make a lot of sense. Like if you don't feel as much of an attachment to your kid and then they go away, it's like, well, like I don't care about this as much. But I do think in this process of kind of thinking about it, it's very interesting to consider parents, because obviously we are both the 20-something-year-olds going home. And I think a big part of this trip home was that I did kind of come to terms with the fact that I'm not the only person in this relationship either. Like, I want to move on, and I may have my frustrations because I'm trying to find independence, but also there's another person on the other end of that that's trying to like keep up a life that they used to have, which was having someone that was dependent on them. And I feel like in a lot of ways it's like you have two people on two different paths, but at the same time and also like connected. So like you have this child like moving forward in life and becoming an adult, while the parent in some cases and in some ways is somewhat mourning a loss of like, oh, I don't get to be this person's parent anymore. And obviously, again, like this is not everybody's relationship, but I think that having that mentality has been good in some ways, but then also like really complicates things, at least on my end, because I do kind of plan to like move around in my life and like do things independently. But then I am kind of stuck with this end of like, but I still have my mom, and like, I, as much as she may annoy me when I go home, and as much as I definitely don't want to live with her ever again, like, I do want to go see her and I do want to be there for her, but it becomes harder. And I think that if kids and parents aren't having those conversations and aren't actually, like what you were saying earlier, of like actually putting in the work and actually like trying to like make a new type of relationship that is child and parent, but it's an adult child, you want to have your kid come home. You want to like want them to come home. And that means work on, think on both sides. But I do think that begs a lot of work on a parent's side to be like, well, I'm going to need to change at this point.
I think that you and I have both talked about as well some of the factors about leaving home and living separately from your parents that can actually be positive and be benefits for your relationship. Like having that physical distance where you can't be constantly up in each other's faces, but you can still communicate in ways that you're actively choosing to engage with each other, and how that can be like a really positive thing for your relationship with your parents.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, especially I think in my second and third year, I would honestly get quite homesick. I didn't get very homesick in my first year because I think I was just loving being independent and being by myself. But there were times where I wasn't going home very often and I would start to miss it. And like, I was also going on like shorter visits that were only about a weekend long. And those experiences became very like nice. One, because like, again, there was that physical distance that like made me somewhat yearn to just be home. But then also it was a short amount of time. So like me and my mom were always like, we've got to make the best of this. And like, maybe that's a solution. Like maybe you do take shorter trips home because it's just like, this will be good and we'll just have this nice short time. But I think having like the distance is good and it's bad, right? Where it's like, sometimes it can be good because you get to have the distance and you're like, oh, like I would actually love to go home for like a weekend just to see my family. But then also I think the distance also kind of adds on to that like retransitioning period that makes it very difficult, I think, for maybe longer trips where you're like, okay, now I have to like readapt and like live in this home that I've not lived in however many years, and I'm not in my own room and don't have my own autonomy.
Yeah, and that's really nice that we can kind of look at the research and see a bit of the factors of why it might be more difficult and the ways that you can make it a bit easier. And I think that that's super helpful as the child. And I think also as the parent, you brought up a lot of great things to consider as well. And I think it's not a smooth road necessarily for anyone, but it is in some cases something worth considering and working towards to make it better. But we're going to take a quick break to listen to some ads and PSAs. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about our experiences going home. So we'll see you in just a sec.
If you attended a federal Indian day school, now is your time to make your claim. If you experience harm at your school, you may be eligible to receive a check for compensation. Remember, you need to make your claim before July 13th, 2022. See if your school is on the list and get free legal help. Start at IndianDayschools.com or call 1-844-539-4444. 3815. Claim what's yours.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM.
This week, we're talking about going home for the holidays. This year was particularly interesting in those discussions that we talked about at the beginning of this episode in terms of asking people about going home, because we have been living in a pandemic for the last little while. And so what I found to be really interesting in some of the conversations I was having with people was hearing from them that they were going home this year and that they hadn't seen family in maybe up to 2-3 years, either because of travel restrictions or maybe the past couple of years during the pandemic, they didn't deem it as very safe to travel. Not to say that this holiday season was much better, but I can also understand trying to hold off until it is safer and then 2 years passing and then being like, I can't wait any longer, especially if you do consider yourself close to your family, or even if you don't, but you're still getting pressure from your family to come. I can definitely understand that. And I think that there was a lot of weight as well for a lot of people because of, say, in someone's experience, having travel restrictions in their country. And I can only imagine how difficult that was, especially if you do consider yourself quite close to your family. That must have been really hard for people in these past couple years.
Yeah. And thinking about that, and then in kind of context of the what we've been talking about throughout the podcast, I think for many people going home after 1 or 2 years or even like 6 months, I feel like there's this anticipation. And I think in my experience, when it's been a really long time since I've been home, I like actually start to look forward to it. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be great. And like, maybe you've even booked longer times to see your family. So a lot of people I know were like just gone for a lot longer than they normally would be, but it's like, you haven't seen them in a long time. However, though, I feel like that could also then be the cause of then, oh, now we're here and we're going to have all these not so fun times. And I have, one, not seen any of you in a very long time and have maybe forgotten a little bit of how annoying it may be to be home, or like you've just been home for a really long time. Also, like from my experience, Omicron was just all over LA, so I did not leave the house. Like, I was just practically quarantined with my mom for 9 days, and that's really difficult. And I had a really funny and, like, I don't know, community oriented experience on Christmas Day, because I was just like so overwhelmed, and I was like, I need to go on a walk. And so my mom was making dinner, and I was like, hey, like, I'm gonna go get a coffee, and I'm gonna have a few minutes. I think she said that she wanted to come because it was like the first nice day, and I was like, I need to go by myself, thank you. And I put my headphones in, went, got a coffee. First, when I walked into the coffee shop, it was barren, obviously, because it's Christmas Day, other than these two girls who I presumed were sisters or cousins or something, and I didn't catch a lot of their conversation, but they were sitting down drinking coffee and they were going off about their family. Like, I'm sure that these girls just like escaped and like went to this coffee shop just so they could rant for even if it was 20 minutes. And so that made me feel a little bit better, because I was like, okay, I'm not being a bad kid. Like, I am just like experiencing this. And then I went on this long walk just around my neighborhood, and the amount of 20-year-olds I saw that were just had headphones in by themselves, like looking so solemn and just like needing a break. Almost everybody was using a form of nicotine. Like, it was a rough one. I saw this one guy just sitting on steps in front of this house, just with his like Santa hat on, smoking a cigarette and like looking defeated. And like, that was like a sign of me, or like a sign to me of like, oh, right, we're all going through this together. Like, this is hard for everybody.
There should definitely be a photographer who takes that on as a project, who just like wanders the streets on Christmas Day in like various neighborhoods and sees what they can find. I love the image that you've left there of the man with the Santa hat and the cigarette. That's so great. Yeah, and I think that experience is incredibly common, of even just needing a breather. And I think that that's in direct contrast to what we're seeing on social media, which we've talked about before on this podcast, of how people are presenting themselves on social media, and that is oftentimes a factor that I think about in some of the topics that we talk about. So like this year, looking at my social media, I was seeing all of these big happy family photos gathered around the dinner table, and like massive families as well. And I'm like, there's no way all of you guys like each other this much. There's no way. I refuse to believe it. There's something else going on, but you can't see. You don't know. Everyone's just looking happy and smiling at the table with like full bellies or whatever. But like even like my family took a big family photo this year. But as I mentioned, there was more going on than would maybe meet the eye if you just looked at that photo. My grandma posted that photo on Facebook and was flooded with all of these comments from her friends and even like other distant relatives being like, oh, this must have been such a happy reunion for the family. And obviously I know that there's more going on that photo doesn't tell you. And so right there is like a prime example of how we are presenting something on social media and why it can feel so isolating when you see other people posting like their glamorous meals or their happy family photos, when for a lot of people, the reality is a lot more nuanced and complicated.
I really hope if anyone hasn't thought about this before, that if they're listening to this podcast right now, that it's maybe, you know, popping into your mind and maybe like having you realize that so many people have complications with their family. And I stress that because I remember in high school really struggling with my family dynamics, and Christmas was always so hard. Christmas and Thanksgiving, I remember like everybody would be posting photos of their family. And because I didn't have that concept in my head that, you know, people are just posing for a nice photo and probably there's a lot going on behind the scenes, it made me feel really terrible because it made me feel like I was the only person out there. Like my experience on Christmas Day, which, you know, I had like divorced parents and like a lot of stuff going on, and like I'd have to be somewhere for until 12 p.m. and then I'd have to make the transition, and like it didn't feel like what normal Christmas was supposed to be. And then seeing photos as like a young kid and just like seeing all these amazing family photos, like big families. I remember always wanting a big family growing up and like always having small family gatherings. It made me feel terrible. And so like, and I'm so happy that I've now been able to start talking to more people about this, and also just like growing up and like knowing that not everything you see on social media is real, obviously. But still, I mean, there were still times that like this Christmas I would log on to Instagram and just like see what people were doing, even like on TikTok, and like I would always see these like silly videos that people were making with their families on TikTok, and I was like, oh, my family would never do something like that. It made me feel really bad. This is a stranger. I don't even know this person. But I think the best thing to always remind yourself is just like, not everything is what you think it is. Like there's always so much more happening behind the scenes. I know that I've taken like family photos with cousins before where I know we were fighting right before and right afterwards. But it is so hard. I think that everything we've been talking about just kind of shows that like the holidays can be so difficult because everyone has to do it. So you are experiencing it as well as other people. And so you're being reminded how like your family dynamic may not be what you want it to be. And that's difficult. I can really like empathize with people who struggle over the holidays because like I definitely do.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people will resonate with that sentiment. And I think that that's why when you pitched this idea, I was so excited about it, because I think not only did I think that we would have some valuable things to say just from our own experience, but I also thought that it was really a topic that would speak to a lot of other people, because I think it is something that a lot of people go through, big or small, whatever is going on and whatever the reason is. I think that there is just a lot of stress that truly doesn't really get talked about enough. And like, I think that in general, family issues can be very taboo, and there's a certain picture that is wanted to be presented by families of like, oh, we're all just one big happy family, nothing to see here, when the reality might be a little bit different, and like that's okay, and honestly it's really normal. But there's like this denial, and like I think for me this year, like Christmas music was just really grinding my gears because it's just so nauseatingly cheerful. And I was listening to the song that talks about how it's the most wonderful time of the year, and I was like, no, it is not. It's literally not the most wonderful time of the year. Please stop singing that, whoever it is. I don't even know who sings that song. And I think that that's part of probably why we have this sentiment growing up, or why you talked about, like, I feel like this isn't what Christmas is supposed to be like. But who's saying what Christmas is supposed to be like? Lots of people have divorced parents and they need to go from one house to the other on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whatever, like, or whatever the case may be. But I think that the whole culture around it does put a bit of a picture in your mind of what you should be expecting out of these holidays. And I totally fall victim to it too. And then it just becomes this big comparison game where you're thinking that your holiday experience isn't matching up with everyone else's. And I think I also get a little bit confused about the Christmas people, like people who are like, I just love Christmas. December 1st, I am decorating the house and I'm wearing Christmas colors and I'm making Christmas cookies, all of this stuff. Because I think for me, it's, I mean, I'd love to talk to someone more about it and just like hear what they have to say. But for me, it just is just a reminder of like coming home and like seeing family, and how that comes with a whole mixture of emotions. And so I wonder how much they associate that holiday with like family or not.
Interesting that you say this, because I would say that I am a Christmas person, or I at least really used to be. But I think it was because I was like striving for, so like the way that I think about it is, when I moved to Vancouver, I was so excited about living in a place that had winter. And I remember like the first winter I was here, I think I went to like the mall or something like that. And I, for some reason, loved being at the mall during Christmas time, because everybody was shopping. It was like such a reminder that this is like the time where you buy gifts and people are like, everything's decorated. And it used to give me a very nice warm feeling, especially I think the first few years I was in university. But I think that is coming from a place of, in my head, wanting a different thing. So growing up, I always remember thinking like, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to have a huge family, and I'm going to try to marry into like a huge family, because I want like a big family Christmas, or I want big family Thanksgivings, and like that's what I want. I don't feel that way so much anymore, but I think that I wouldn't say that now I would consider myself a Christmas person. I still like Christmas music and I think it's fun, especially friend-wise, but like, I think that beforehand, the reason why I liked Christmas so much and why it made me feel nostalgic for something that I actually had never experienced was because I wanted it to be something that I didn't get to have. And like, I find it fascinating. The one thing that you said that like really struck me is like talking about, this was what my idea of Christmas was, of like perfect family sitting down for dinner and having the tree, and then we all have a great time where we're playing games and everyone's happy. I would go as far to say that I don't think anybody has that experience, and not even in like a cynical way. I think it's just, when you have that many people all in one place, there's gonna be something that happens. You've been with your family most likely for a really long time. There's got to be some, nobody has had a perfect family life. So it's so funny that like all the media that we get, social media, movies, like commercials, everything is painting Christmas to be this perfect thing. And it puts so much pressure for it to be perfect. And then people start getting annoyed at one another naturally, because you're family. And then there's maybe this added thing of like, it's Christmas, like we have to be good. But it's like, who's this great? Like, no, even Christmas, even Hallmark movies have like the pinnacle of conflict. Like, it's actually so, I'm thinking about it now, it's just so ridiculous. And like, it makes me so sad for like my younger self and anyone else that has just like struggled with family specific issues on these holidays, because you are not alone. Like, you are simply not alone. Everyone has issues. There's no need to compare yourself to someone else. But just know that, like, this is a struggle for most people, and, like, it's not a comfortable experience. And I think that, like, obviously there's work you can do with your family if you want to make it feel better. But I think for me, the best thing has been just knowing that everyone else is also probably not going to have a great time. And, like, I find that when I ask most people, like, oh, are you excited to go home? Most of the conversation will be like, oh yeah, like, I'm excited, or like, oh, we're going to do this and this, like, it'll be nice. But then when everyone gets back, I feel like that's when the floodgates open of, like, you're like, oh, how was home? And you're, everyone's like, oh, it was 2 days were good, and then everything else got bad, or like, oh, this thing got really terrible, or like, you know, my uncle said this, or like, whatever. You know, I think that it's usually like going into it with somewhat of high hopes. And then I feel like when everyone comes back, like 80% of people are like, yeah, I don't know, I don't want to see my family for a little bit.
Yeah, well, a positive part for me was coming back this year. I was so excited to be back in Vancouver and, like, back in this place that, like, I think both of us talked about how this is, like, what we refer to as home now. As much as this is, like, a whole episode about, like, going home, it's, like, weird because I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home, see my family for the holidays, whatever. But then also when I'm there, I'm like, oh, I got to go home to Vancouver. I'm going home on the 26th or whatever. And this does feel like home to me right now. And I have my own chosen family that I've kind of created here in Vancouver. And that's been really positive for me. I think sometimes it takes leaving Vancouver to appreciate it in its own way and be excited about coming back, just in the same way that that stands for going and visiting the home that I grew up in as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we talked about this the other night when Violet and I had our fun debrief of going home, was that, you know, as difficult as home and family can be, I feel very lucky, and I know that you also feel very lucky, that you have a support system in Vancouver and, like, in the place that you go to school, and that you have, you know, kind of started your independent life. And, like, I'm also very understanding of the fact that not everyone has gotten to have that. So I feel extremely privileged and extremely lucky to have the people in my life, because everything that I'd be going through back home, or just like anything that has to do with family in general, the one thing I can always remind myself is, like, I have people that I will go to and I will talk to about this, and I will have people that support me. And I think, you know, that's always what I kind of thought family was supposed to be. And, like, I think in, like, Persian culture, family is such an important part of growing, or, like, of just your life. Like, family is everything. And I find that that happens with a lot of, like, I think just all around Asian cultures, is, like, family is always quite important. And I think that first gens and second gens are kind of, like, gearing away from that in a way. But there's always, like, that tie back for me that be like, I need to be a good daughter, I need to be a good granddaughter, I need to be a good niece. And, like, that in itself can be so difficult. But again, having the support system that I get to have through just my friends, like what you said, your chosen family, it just makes it all kind of, like, palatable to me. Like, anything that's difficult, I'm always just like, it's fine, because I've got people like Violet, and I've got people in, like, my actual home that I, like, can go to and can seek out the support that, like, maybe I always did want to have from, like, my birth family.
Yeah, definitely. That is absolutely an honor and a privilege, and we are very lucky to say that. And we hope that this episode this week maybe made you feel a little bit less alone in your experience of going home. Or if maybe this year wasn't particularly stressful for you, we're very happy for you, but maybe it helps you kind of broaden your perspective and think about a little bit more of the other diversity of experiences that people may have had going home this year. So we want to leave you with some homework, as we always do, and that's just trying not to compare your family situation to others no matter what, and just, like, not beating yourself up for having a complicated relationship with your family if that is the situation that you find yourself in. And again, I hope that you can have some solace even in just hearing that the two of us definitely don't have easy, carefree situations going home this year.
This has been your free therapy session for the week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Thank you again for joining us in our first episode of 2022. We hope to see you again. Hopefully next week or in 2 weeks, we will have two mics instead of one. Fingers crossed. But be sure to tune in 2 weeks, because our episode will be on self-diagnosing and the importance of language.
Yeah, and be sure to follow us on Instagram for updates and behind the scenes at Therapy Hour Pod. See you in 2 weeks.